Car Talk
with Melinda Ferguson
on Weekend Breakfast with Sarah Jane McQuillan-King.
Yes, indeed. Car Talk at 8:45. This week, Melinda is reviewing for us the plug-in hybrid Volvo XC90. But first up, she's got the car sale stats for us for last month. Hi, Mel.
Hello, my darling. We're not going to start talking about ants. I would love to, but I'm not going to speak about ants with you.
No, I can't bear it.
Okay. Let's just go for the March figures from NAMSA.
Mm.
8 months of decline. Aye. I mean, it's a horrible thing to have to announce this every month. We are still on a steady decline from compared to March 2023. We still managed to, though, sell 44,237 units, but it did fall 11.7%, which is not great news. And the industry, the people from NAMSA say it's a lot to do with all these public holidays. There were three public holidays. March was not a great trading month. I think there were only 20 days of trading. It was the financial end year for many companies. People were on holiday, so we're hoping April looks a little better. We go straight then to the top selling manufacturers, and of course it's Toyota that sold 11,109 cars, and that's including Buckies, obviously. VW, as usual, is second with 5,219. Suzuki came third, dropped quite substantially from last month. So VW must be going whew.
Mm.
And then Nissan
what?
Came in at number four. Yeah. And knocked Ford out a bit. Isuzu came in at number five, Hyundai six, and then Ford only came in at number seven. GWM, which is Great Wall Motors, yeah, the Chinese manufacturer that does the Haval. They sold 1,564 cars. Chery was just behind them with 1,531. That was at number nine. I'm only going to do the top 10.
Yeah.
Renault came in at number 10.
What product has Nissan got that suddenly made it, suddenly meant that it's overtaken Isuzu, Hyundai, and Ford? I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
The Navara.
Oh, the Navara.
The Navara sold 2,277 Buckies last month, and the Hilux sold 3,104. So it was the second best-selling car in South Africa, the Nissan Navara.
Mm.
The Isuzu D-Max came third, so we got three Buckies in the top three best-selling cars in South Africa. And then you've got the Toyota Corolla Cross at number four, and the Ford Ranger, which was number like two in the last few months, came in at number five.
Okay. I'm just scrolling down the list. Okay, yeah, got. I mean, there's no, apart from Nissan, there's no massive surprises, is it? We're never surprised to see Toyota at the top. We're never surprised to see VW in second position. But yeah, Nissan is not, I hadn't immediately thought of that as being, as necessarily making the top five or the top ten, to be honest. Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bleak that we're on a downward trajectory still, but I wonder, there we are. It is what it is. It'll be interesting to see. Go on.
There is something I want to tell you something quite interesting, is that BMW, which, you know, we haven't seen these luxury manufacturers doing that well, BMW came in at number 12. They sold 1,068 units last month, which, if you think about the price of a BMW, that's a lot of cars.
Yeah.
And Mercedes didn't do too badly as well. They came in at number 14, selling 567 Mercs last month.
Why does that not seem like a lot to me, Mel?
You know, it seems like a lot to me because I know what the numbers have been recently.
Right.
So I think, in terms of the luxury market, they've been coming in the 30s or the 20s. So to come in at number 12.
What?
Yeah.
Are you 30 units a month?
No. Number 30 in the top 100.
Okay, number. I see what you're saying. No. But still, I mean, still, not 30 SJ, but still, I mean, the 567. In my mind, I'm suddenly thinking about, you know, in where I live, there's four or five car showrooms in my. I think I've got Haval, I've got a Kia. I've got a Renault, and I'm thinking about these salespeople and the sales that they are or are not making. It just blows my mind a bit.
You know, there's a huge second-hand market, the pre-owned market.
Pre-owned,
and like in Constantiaburg, where there's that big Merck showroom, that showroom is getting a lot of pre-owned Mercks are going up. So I think that a car like a Mercedes, which has a long kind of longevity and doesn't sort of fade in its appeal, I think a lot of secondhand ones are selling.
No, you're right. I hadn't even thought of that. You're right. All right. Thanks very much for the Namsas. All right. Today, though, you are reviewing for us, if my mouse would work, the Volvo XC90. Now, is it the PHEV? Is it the PEV? The FEV?
No, it's the... Yeah, you say PHEV and it stands for plug-in hybrid.
Oh, plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. Ah, of course.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, this looks nice. Go.
Pretty gorgeous. Okay, so it's actually called the Recharge. It's the XC90 Recharge. That makes it a little bit easier to get your mouth around PHEV. With Volvo is really set on going all electric. They've pulled all their diesel new cars out of South Africa. I'm really sad about that. I love the XC60 diesel. At the moment, you can only get like either hybrid or fully electric Volvos in this country. They are aiming to have no petrol, no diesel vehicles in their lineup by 2030 across the world. I think it's quite risky, to be honest. And we could have a long talk about how electric vehicles in Europe, the sales are dipping. A lot of people can't get rid of their secondhand electric vehicles. And my sense is that someone's going to wake up and say, oh, maybe we don't have to go all electric in a few years' time. And then all of these manufacturers that have gone electric are going to be sitting with a completely electric fleet.
Right.
So my thoughts are a little bit like Volvo, I feel, has almost like gone too pure too quickly.
Okay.
That's my feeling.
Okay.
Yeah. They won't like me for that. But this XC90 is a brilliant SUV. It's a 7-seater. You'd love it.
Yeah.
It's got an 18.8 kilowatt battery, which gives you about, well, they say 77 kilometers on pure electric.
Okay.
I got closer to 50.
Oh,
so that was quite a big difference.
Yeah.
And then
that's
as soon
a
as
massive
you're 50
difference.
K, yeah. It's like 27K's difference when you're talking about such a little range.
Yeah, exactly.
You
the percentage is big, yeah.
Yeah, it's. Sorry, I'm just like talking over you. The Defender that we reviewed recently was also one of these plug-in hybrids that gave 50 or 47. And this is for people who are driving to work who are going to plug in at home, who's not going to have to go and drive to like Century City to go and charge your car and lose all of the range as you drive home.
Sure.
So I think it's for people that have got their home chargers who want to kind of like not really use the fuel tank. But I quickly got rid of that 50. I mean, I was driving, suddenly it was gone, and then I was going pure petrol.
It obviously gives you a little notification. Can you feel when that happens? Is that a silly question?
Yeah. Well, no, you don't really feel it, but you see there's a different fuel gauge. There's a battery gauge and there's a fuel gauge, and then it goes to like zero. You can drive and recharge, but I never saw my battery getting any more, like I didn't even go up a percent, even when I was trying to drive really like slowly and trying to brake and do the whole recharging thing.
How do you drive and recharge?
So you accelerate, you pull your foot off the accelerator, and if you do a lot of braking, it seems to recharge the battery. So it's called one pedal driving.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it, as you say, it's
you
not
really
a significant...
You really need to get into an electric car.
I know.
We are organizing
We're trying to
one,
sort that
so
out.
You know
I know. Yeah, you're right. Because I almost feel like I'm sort of driving blind, no pun, but I do feel it like that a little bit. Okay.
We've got to get you into an electric car.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So it's a 7-seater SUV, electric hybrid. Mel got about 50 from the battery and then kicked in. The petrol kicked in. How is it as a drive?
Oh, no, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's quiet. You put it on. It's silent. I mean, people don't know you're coming behind them. A pedestrian sort of gets a fright when a big car comes up. It's pure Swedish-like comfort. There's beautiful Nappa leather in the seats. It's got a fantastic sound system, a Bowers & Wilkins audio system. So it's got that minimalistic vibe in the cabin. I must say, this is the second generation XC90, and I'm starting to feel like their infotainment system, it works really well, but that screen, I don't know if you can see inside, it used to be enormous. It's like this tablet.
Yeah.
But there's so many manufacturers that have gone like bigger that I almost felt like, hey,
a bit
why
cheated.
Are you so small, Volvo?
Yeah, I tell you, it's funny you say that. Yeah, I mean, it does look, you know, I love minimalist stuff and I can't bear, I know that Mel likes a lot of knobs, as we know, but I'm not a massive fan. but this does look very, very minimalistic inside the cabin here.
Yeah.
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 Oh, well.
No, and I mean, it's gorgeous to drive. You know, you've got to, it can accelerate. Let's see what the acceleration is. I did write this down somewhere. Now I'm trying to say, it can accelerate. Sorry, guys. I think it's like about 0 to 100 in 5.4 seconds.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's pretty fast. You know, these cars are fast. It's safety-wise, I mean, it's Volvo.
It's a Volvo.
Volvo's known to probably be one of the, you know, Lexus and Volvo, very safe cars. 5-star Euro NCAP.
Yeah.
It's got 7 airbags. It's got all this whiplash injury protection. So I think if you, like, hit something really hard, there's something in the structure of the XC90 that's going to, like, prevent you from getting whiplash. You've got your 360-degree camera so you can see everywhere. You've got rear collision warning. And I must say that really kicked in because I went and reversed, and even though it was only a bush that I was getting close to, the Volvo acted like I'd hit this kind of concrete pole. And the whole car just, like, stopped. And I was like, oh, my God, I knocked something, but I hadn't. A little leaf had come in the way. And it just stopped this whole car from moving anywhere further backwards.
I have to say, my car's got one of those sensor things. And sometimes it annoys me. I think I'm nowhere near it. Stop beeping at me. I mean, I know it's a safety mechanism, but it is a bit irritating. Mel, we've got about a minute left. What can we compare this against, just very quickly? Is there anything that's a like for like?
Yeah, this took me about 2 hours to find. So you have to look at your Land Rover Defender Hybrid.
Yep.
But it's such a different car. I wouldn't really call it a comparison.
No.
You'd look at your Lexus RX. It's an RX 450H Plus, which is a plug-in hybrid, and that's the Lexus. And then you would also look at your BMW X5 xDrive 50e. That's the model.
Okay.
And that's also plug-in electric.
All right. So basically, everything that you've listed don't come cheap. So it's time for me to guess how much this is. And Volvo don't come cheap. We know that. And then we add the electric vehicle element to it. I'm going to say... And I don't know, 1.5 as a jumping off point. Am I anywhere near? No.
Pull out another 283 grand. It's 1.7 and 83,000 rand. Yeah,
yes.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. I mean, it's Volvo plus, isn't it? Okay, well, I mean, listen, it's I'd love to get into one of these electric cars, and then I'm going to have more of a frame of reference. But for now, it is the Volvo XC90 PHEV plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. What are you giving it out of 10, Mel?
I would have given it an 8. I wasn't that impressed by that range. I had a few little issues about that. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 today.
Sorry, Volvo. 7 out of 10 from Mel Ferguson.